The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're going to continue with a message that I started a couple weeks ago. It's called Behold a Sower. And we've been talking about farming and sowing and growing crops and how important it is to understand this process. And Jesus used this parable, this story, to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like. So it's, you know, this whole farming thing, it's something, growing a garden is something that I've gotten into the last few years, and I enjoy it. I like to put things in the ground and see it grow. We do our part, and that's the thing about growing a garden or sowing seed in the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility. We have to do our part, but the actual harvest is God's. God creates the fruit and caused the harvest to come. There was a Texas rancher who had never been out of Texas, but he went to Australia on a vacation. And when he got there, he came in contact with some Aussie farmers and ranch owners, and he got to know this one guy, and this guy took him out to his ranch, and they looked around, and he took him out into the field, into his wheat field, and showed him his wheat field. And the Texan said, "Well, in Texas, our wheat fields are twice this size, because everything in Texas is bigger. Everyone knows that." He took him out to where his cattle was, and he saw his cattle, and he said, "Man, our steers in Texas are twice the size of your steers. Everything this Aussie showed the Texan, everything was bigger and better," because he was from Texas. As they were on their way back to the house, they drove by a field that there was a bunch of kangaroos, a herd of kangaroos out there. This Texan had never been out of Texas, and he didn't know what a kangaroo was. And he said, "What in the world are those things?" The Aussie saw his opportunity. He said, he looked at him with a little bit of disdain, and he said, "What? Don't you have grasshoppers in Texas?" Bigger and better sometimes is what we're always looking for. And I tell you that because I believe that this is an example of the church today. We're all about bigger buildings. We're all about bigger crowds. We're all about bigger ministry. But the reality is ministry is about souls. And we need to focus on what ministry really is. It's not about big buildings. Thank God that he gives us the opportunity to do that. But that doesn't mean success. Big crowds don't always mean success. Big ministry doesn't always mean success. What are we really doing for the kingdom of God? Are we seeing people come into the kingdom? Are we sowing the kind of seed where people are receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And that's what I want to challenge you with this message. I want to pick up where we left off, but I do want to do a little bit of review. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9, Jesus tells the story of the sower. And then in verse 18 through 23, he gives the interpretation of it to his disciples. And that's where we want to pick up. We're going to start right there again. Matthew 13, 18, and 19. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." And as a reminder, the wayside is actually on the roadside, a place where things do not grow very well. It gets trampled on. Usually there's chemicals along the road. It's just not a very good place. However, here is something that I have discovered about growing a garden, is no matter what your soil is, you may have poor soil. It is possible to develop that soil. You have to do certain things, and that's what we're talking about here with this parable. this morning, and I'm relating it to the body of Christ, doing certain things so that we are able to gain some of these people that are on the wayside. The soil was not very good, but our responsibility is to try to do something about that, because the word says it was snatched from them before they even had an opportunity to hear it and think about it and respond to it. The enemy came and snatched it away. What can we do? Well, we have a powerful thing called prayer. And if we will get on our knees before Almighty God and begin to pray for our families, for our brother, our neighbors, our community, people that we come in contact with on a regular basis, I believe that we can snatch some of those people back from the enemy. I believe that we can prepare their hearts, because the enemy does not have the final say. Our God does. And when we get on our face before Almighty God, He hears our prayers and He responds. Believers, according to Proverbs 15:8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." God listens to our prayers. James 5:16 tells us the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and very effective. Church, if we will get serious about fertilizing the field with prayer, I believe we can snatch some of these people back from the enemy. The second thing that we look at is stony ground. In Matthew 13:20-21, it says, "But he received the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Stony places. Soil has to be prepared in order for a garden to grow, for crops, for any kind of plants to grow properly. Weeds, they grow just about anywhere. But you have to prepare the soil. And if the soil isn't prepared properly, you have to fertilize it. But even beyond that, you have to stir that soil up. You have to make the soil, even if it has the right nutrients in it, you have to stir it up so it's soft, so that those tender roots of the plants can begin to go down and grow and spread out, and the plant can grow properly. When we have new converts in the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to help them to grow in the Lord. Now, I believe that every fellowship should have programs in place. Programs are not evil. Programs are man's attempt to do what God wants us to do. And many times programs, you know, sometimes we think, well, this program isn't working. Well, maybe it's time for it to be set aside in a new program. We come up with new programs. God gives us wisdom and insight, and He allows us to be creative. He's the creator, and He instilled within us. We are created in His image, and we have creative abilities. That's the reason we need to create sometimes new programs. But all the programs that we've had in the past, Sunday school, Bible schools, Bible colleges, Bible studies, Susie gave a testimony this morning about our Connect groups. Now, we don't mean to confuse you with the different names that we've used throughout the years, life groups, cell groups, life groups, Connect groups. But as the church has developed, it's been necessary to just change the names of the groups that we have. What they are, small groups, small Bible studies, small groups for people to come together and get to know each other. We've changed it recently to Connect Group. And we've had Pastor Eddie Bear has come on as our small group, our Connect Group pastor. And we're excited about the new possibilities of our Connect Groups. We've changed it to Connect Groups because it fits into our new slogan and our new purpose, and that is connecting people to God and connecting people to people. So just wanted to throw that in to let everybody know where we're going and why we're doing this. But, you know, all these kind of programs have been around for many years, and they're very important for the church to be a part of helping, encouraging, and lifting people up. But I do believe that these things are supposed to be a supplement to something that God gives us in His Word that we're supposed to do, and that is mentor new believers. Each seasoned believer should have some people that they're mentoring, that they're raising up, that they're encouraging, that they're standing with, that they're praying for. You see, in Titus chapter 2, we're told that the older men and the older women, and this is not age, he's not speaking of age here, he's talking about seasoned believers, are to take the new believers, the novice, and train them up to be solid believers in the Lord. So we have a responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ when we've been a believer for a while. And let me tell you this, time has nothing to do with a person becoming a strong, seasoned believer. It has to do with a desire to grow in the Lord. If you have a desire in a short period of time, you can become a solid believer in the Lord. Read your word. That's the best way to become a solid believer. But you need to connect with mentors, people who will encourage you, lift you up, and help you to become everything that God has called you to. He has a calling in your life. He has ordered your steps. But you have to walk in those steps that He has ordered. And you will do so when you have people around you who will encourage you. Tammy and I, when we first became believers, we had godly people who came into our life. And they were not, it wasn't the pastor. It was other godly people who surrounded us and prayed for us. We had Bible studies with these people. We visited with them. We sat in their home and we talked about the Lord. Sometimes it wasn't Bible study. It was just talking about the Lord and talking about the things of God. We grew so much during that period of time. All through my Christian walk, I have had mentors, people who came alongside me and taught me things and helped me to become the person that I believe God wanted me to be and still wants me to be. I've still got a lot of growth going on in my life and will continue to grow. But these people encouraged me and led me in the right direction so that I could one day become the pastor of Bethel and continue to grow and walk as God wanted me to. Now, I want to say something about mentors. Sometimes you learn things from mentors that are not necessarily positive things, but learn something. You know, somebody may have something in their life that is not necessarily glorifies God. And maybe God's trying to show you that. You wouldn't see it in yourself, but you might see it in somebody else. That's not condemning those people. We're all human beings. We have faults and situations in our lives, and we all want to overcome things in our lives. But I can say this, I have learned something from every person that has ever mentored me. Mostly positive, but sometimes some things that, hey, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be like that. And praise God, I believe that's so important that we have mentors. In 1964, J.W. Tucker was a Assemblies of God pastor and missionary in the Congo. He had been there for quite some time, and he was working hard to bring converts into the kingdom of God. He wasn't having a lot of luck. Although he had one guy that became very faithful, and he mentored him. But during that period of time that he was there in 1964, the things were changing in the Congo, and there was an uprising, and there was a civil war, and J.W. knew that he was in danger, and he was in great danger, and when the uprising took place, he was murdered, and his body was thrown into Bamako. I had this down, and now I can't say it. Bomakandi River. Now, I may be butchering it, but that's the way it sounds to me. Bomakandi River. And his body was fed to that crocodiles. And during this period of time, the Mangabito people there was an uprising. Not long after his death, the Mangabito king, or leader, contacted the leaders of the nation and said, "We need help. Send us someone who can help us quell this uprising." And they sent a, a staunch man, a man that was respected by all the people, a native of the area, a man they called the Brigadier. And when the Brigadier came, he saw all the things that were going on, and the Brigadier realized something, because the Brigadier was J.W. Tucker's convert. The Brigadier realized the only thing that was really going to change people's hearts was Jesus Christ. And he started telling people about Jesus, and he didn't have much luck. And then he stumbled upon a fable, a legend that the Mangbeto people had. And that legend was that anyone whose blood was mingled with the river, Bomakandi River, they, if they had a message, you were to listen to that message. And he said, ha, a light came on. God gave him some wisdom and some insight. And he went to the people and he gathered them all together. And he began to tell them, there was a man that came and he told me a great, gave me a great message. And that message was that the Son of God came to earth and he died for our sins. That man was murdered and his body was thrown into the Bomakandi River. And his blood was mingled with the water. And that message is a message for you. And because of that legend, hundreds of the Mangbeto people received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Not only did they receive Christ that day, the Holy Spirit was poured out and people repented and fell on their face before God. And God moved in a great way, but God continued to move. Thousands of the people were saved. Many churches were established because, not just because of the Brigadier, but because J.W. Tucker was willing to do his part. I want you to understand something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe you're not going to stand up here and preach the gospel. Maybe you're not going to tell people in front of a church or a large group of people or a congregation. Maybe you are. Maybe God's got that calling on your life. But regardless, he has a calling. And he does desire for you to help others grow in the Lord. And when we take somebody who's growing up in the Lord, who's coming a new convert, and we begin to mentor and encourage and help them, we don't know what's going to happen. They may be the next Brigadier that goes out and thousands of people, hearts are turned to the Lord. The third type of ground is thorny ground. Now we who received among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful person, because the things of this world grow up. Now, this is very important. I believe that we need to warn people. If you think that this, and I've already mentioned this morning, if you think that this Christianity thing is going to be a walk in the park, if somebody has convinced you that you can become a Christian and nothing bad is ever going to happen in your life, they've lied to you. We still live in a fallen world. Yes, God is on our side. Yes, he's a healer. Yes, he's a deliverer. Yes, he moves in mighty ways. And we have hundreds of testimonies just in this congregation of God doing mighty things on our behalf. He moves on our behalf. Yes, he's doing things. But Jesus said, you are going to have tribulation in this world. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Things are going to happen. You're going to have problems and issues, and things are going to come along. There's going to be tribulation in your life. There's going to be persecution. People are not going to like you sometimes merely because you carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the first two steps that we talked about help us to prepare to move on with this, to help people who are in thorny ground, who the cares of the world's rising up around them, and tribulation and persecution is happening. And we can be there to help weed that stuff out. And one of the things I have learned in my garden is I've got to get out there and weed that garden. It's not a fun job. It's not something that I like to have to do, but I have to get my hoe out. Now, last year, I went out and bought a Manus tiller. Praise God for that Manus tiller. I can tell between my plants, around my plants. I can handle that little thing. It's great. I don't have to do so much manual work, but I still have to weed that garden. I have to keep the thorns and the briars and the weeds out of that garden. Weeding paves the way for believers to grow up in the Lord. And what I'm talking about is that sometimes we have to confront people with wrong lifestyle and wrong behavior. And that's why praying for people and mentoring people is so important, because when you have a relationship with somebody, you speak into their life. You're not condemning those people. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about condemnation here. We're talking about speaking into a person's life so that they can better their life and their walk with the Lord, and they become a better example for Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this: "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When we develop these relationships with people and we're praying for people, we have the opportunity to speak into their life. Not that any of us is perfect, but we all need somebody coming alongside us sometime and say, "Hey, wait a minute, is that really the way you want to represent the kingdom of God? Is that really what you want to do to convey Jesus Christ to others?" It's really important that we have people that can do that in our life. I read a story many years ago about a young man who was converted to Christ, and he was on fire, and he was coming to church, and he was doing things for the kingdom of God. And one elder took him under his wing and was loving him and teaching him and training him up. And suddenly, the young man just stopped coming to church. And the pastor, he said to this elder, he said, "Will you go talk to him and see what's going on?" And he said, "Certainly." So he went to his house, and it was a cold winter day, and the young man was sitting there in front of his fireplace, and the elder asked if he could come in, and he came in the house, and they both sat in front of the fireplace and drank a cup of coffee together and just casually talked. And as they were talking, the elder picked up the tongs for the fireplace, and he picked up a coal out of the fireplace, and he set it on the side. And as they both sat there and they talked and they watched that coal, and that coal just gradually started losing its heat. The embers started cooling, and there's no longer any heat in that coal. And as they continued to talk, the elder just got the tongs and put it back in. And as they watched, that coal began to glow again, and the heat began to come back into it, and it began to burn once again. The elder never said a thing to the young man about coming back to church and getting back involved. He just talked to him, and he got up. He said, "It's time for me to go." And the young man embraced him and said, "Thank you for coming to see me. And by the way, thank you for that fiery sermon you just gave me." We all need one another. We need the body of Christ. And we need people who will encourage us. We need people sometimes pick up the phone or come and see us and say, "Hey, you're going to be all right. It's going to be good." That's what the body of Christ is all about. And yes, I believe there's going to be some thorny things grow up in our lives, but we can get those things out, and we can weed that garden, and we can become more of what God wants us to be. The third thing is good ground, and this is exciting because, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and or some 60 and some 30. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. There is fruit being produced in a person's life. Hallelujah. That's what we want. We want to see this kind of soil. And we can help make the soil and keep the garden in such a way that it does produce fruit. Not everybody's going to produce 100-fold, but there is some production going on. There's some fruit. Jesus said that the fruit, that there's a harvest that needs to be harvested, and that he has his workers that need to go out and do the work of the kingdom harvesting. But the harvest, but the harvesters are few, but the harvest is plenty. The workers, the laborers are few. The harvesters, the harvest is plenty. There's a plentiful harvest out there, but we've got to get serious and get busy about going out and doing what Jesus Christ has called us to do. We've got to see some of this taking place in the church. We need 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. We need to see the church rise up. I'm excited about coming back together on Pentecost Sunday. I'm hoping that God shows up in a way that we haven't seen him for a long time. I'm tired of the rituals that we go through as church members sometimes. Let's see God show up and shake our world just a little bit. You know what happened on Pentecost Sunday? The whole world was shaken, and they were accused of being drunk. Hallelujah. Let them accuse me. Praise God. We want to see the power of God released. I want to tell you this. If things like that happen in the body of Christ, the world and the majority of the church is not going to recognize that God is in it. You have to understand. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you're looking for the world to embrace you and the majority of the church world to embrace you, then you are not going to get radical for Jesus Christ. The world wants us all. He wants the church. The world wants the church to be, to come to our, in our four walls, sit here comfortably, be passive, and do nothing to touch our culture. Jesus Christ wants us to be radically saved, set free, delivered, and carry that message into the world. Today, I believe God has called us to do more than we're doing. Now, this is not a message that I'm condemning anybody. I'm just saying, let's get busy about this kingdom work. Let's plant. Let's take care. Let's fertilize. Let's pray. Let's keep the weeds out of the garden. Let's talk to people. Hey, listen, you can't live that way any longer. There's a message that needs to go out. We have a way of making things easy and soft. Without, you know, in some cases, it's politically correct to say certain things. And I'm not against political correctness because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But there's some things that are carried way too far. And being able to talk about sin is one of them. It's become incorrect in our society to talk about sin. I'm not supposed to tell people if you're living an adulterous lifestyle, you're in sin. No, we pad it a little bit. And, you know, they're having extramarital affair. It doesn't sound quite so bad. No, you're a sinner, and you need to get it right. I'm supposed to tell homosexuals that they have a gay lifestyle. That makes it sound like a frolic in the park. Well, it's not. It's ungodly. It's an ungodly lifestyle. And God loves you. He hates the sin. I'm supposed to tell people that it's okay to cohabitate. No, it's fornication. It's sin. Now, let me tell you something. I did not intend to finish my message with this, but I just believe it's important that the Church of Jesus Christ recognize we have got to separate ourselves from the things of the world. When the Scripture tells us to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, he's talking to the church. We must turn. We must prepare. We must have our lives. If we expect to touch the world, we must have our lives in ordered by the Word of God, ordered by the Scriptures, living a life that is pleasing to our God. I appreciate you listening to my message this morning. I hope that you receive something from it. My desire is that we can help you connect to God no matter what and whatever's going on in your life. If you feel like you have a hidden sin, let me tell you, there are other things going on. Pornography is a horrible blight on the body of Christ. And there are some of you maybe listening to this and you're having issues with pornography. God wants to set you free. If you're in an adulterous affair, God wants to deliver you from that. If you're a homosexual lifestyle, God wants to set you free from that lifestyle and begin to walk according to Him. If you are a deceiver, you deceive and you lie to people, God wants to deliver you today. The power of God is available. And we're going to pray right now. Father God, if we have people out there who need to repent of whatever the issue is in their life, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you hear their prayer. They're crying out to you right now, wherever they are. They hear you. They hear your voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts, and they are beginning, Father God, to come under conviction right now because your word is alive and it's real. Jesus is the Savior and the Deliverer. And Father God, you're delivering your people right now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing as you deliver and set people free. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you heard from the Spirit of God this morning, please get a hold of me. Let me know. Contact us here at the church. Our desire is to help you grow in the Lord. God bless. Have an awesome day and an awesome week.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.